God's church is awesome. And I think sometimes we fail to realize just how vital and important the church is to each and every one of us. That God, in the beginning, when he created the heavens and the earth with such awesome power, he had a plan, a scheme of redemption, a way to buy back man so that man could have a proper relationship with God. There was no accident. It wasn't a second thought. There wasn't an oops, because God does not make any mistakes. Upon creation, everything that God created was perfect, and when he created it, he said, "It is good." The crowning glory of God's creation was man, Adam and Eve. But as you all know, man sinned. And sin is the one thing that separates us from God. And God cannot have anything to do with sin. It is against his nature. For he is holy and he is perfect. And because of that sin, because God did not create us as the animals, the scriptures share with us that we were created higher than the animals, we have the capability to make decisions, choices. We choose to love God and obey God and respect God and serve God and worship God and praise God, or we choose the opposite, the way of darkness, the broad path that leads to destruction, easy street. But God had a plan that Jesus Christ would be the ultimate sacrifice for our sin. And the blood that he shed on the cross of Calvary would be the payment. And when our Lord uttered on the cross of Calvary, "It is finished," literally those words, "It is finished," in the Greek mean paid in full. The church is awesome today because we have an awesome Savior who loved us and died for us. And in the book of Matthew, he said, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell should not prevail against it." The Lord loved the church so much that he gave himself for it. But before he did that, God gave us Jesus. And it is an awesome thing to be a part of the Lord's church. And I think sometimes we fail to realize what a joy and honor and privilege it is to be a Christian today. Just as this new sister who was added to the body of Christ this evening, Sister Barbara, that should be the happiest moment in your life, the moment you decide to put on Jesus and tell the world, "I choose Jesus. I'm a child of the King. I walk in the light, not in darkness, but in light." And it is a joy and a privilege and an honor to serve the King, amen, to be a part of the church that Jesus purchased with his precious blood. So tonight, for a few moments, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the awesome church. And I think we should gain a fuller understanding and respect for the church and who we are. Now, I might take an unconventional approach to what I do in the sharing of the lesson with you tonight, but it is not unscriptural. Because sometimes we have the misconception as people in the religious world that the church is a beautiful facility, an edifice like this. Beautiful, isn't it? You have been blessed as well as we have been blessed. And sometimes people in the religious world say, "I go to that church or that church, the one on the hill. Won't find too many hills around here. The big church with the blue roof you can see off 95, you know which one I'm talking about." The church is made up of people. The Gospel of Mark tells us a fascinating and exciting story about the life of Jesus, as do the other Gospels. But tonight, for a few moments, we're going to focus on the Gospel of Mark, and we're going to look at some things that will lead us to the church. You see, because the church is made up of precious living souls. It's people. Strip away the building. You are the church. And you're awesome. And you know why you're awesome? Because you were created in the very image of God. And mankind tries to tell you, "You're nobody, you're nothing, you're a loser." But Jesus says, "You're everything to me. I died for you because I love you, and I want you to be with me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, ye may be also." His love for us is awesome. Can you imagine? Jesus says, "I want you to be with me. You're my brother. You're my sister. You're my family." The very thing that our society in general and the world is seeking to destroy, the family as God would have it, is also the church. We are God's children. He is our Father. So tonight we're going to look at the people who followed Jesus during his ministry in this book of Mark. And they didn't really fully understand everything that Jesus was doing. And sometimes we can read about the life of Christ and not fully understand everything that Jesus did. But we know one thing, he's awesome. But they did some things that we can learn from, and that's what I want to share with you tonight. Some things that these people did that we can learn from. That transitioned to Acts chapter 2 when the church began. As we attempt to be the awesome church that God called us to be, there are things that the followers did that we can apply to our lives today. I'm sure that the word awesome has been defined for you during the course of this month. Am I right? They've defined it for you, right? Awesome is awe, awe-inspiring. I mean, it's just, and how many times you hear the young people say, "That's awesome! Our God is awesome." We sing the song, "Our God is an awesome God." It is showing or characterized by awe. In slang, it is very impressive. It's the wow factor. The church is the wow factor of God. How awesome is it tonight to be a part of the family of God, the called out of darkness, the Bible says, to God's marvelous light. To a world that has no flavor, the Bible shares with us, we are salt and we are light. We are to be awesome. There's so many awesome people in the Lord's church today. People who do things that are beyond human comprehension because they are filled with love, dedication, devotion, and following in the footsteps of Jesus. Sometimes we forget who we are. Sometimes we forget what we should be doing. God's church is awesome because we pay careful attention to the words of Jesus. That's the first thing I want to share with you. We pay careful attention to the words of Jesus. You know, in our Wednesday night class, back home down the street, Church of Christ of the Palm Beaches, we are studying why it's important to study the Bible. There used to be a point in time, brothers and sisters and friends, that we used to be Bible-quoting, Bible-toting kind of people. When Jesus began his personal ministry, thousands and thousands of people flocked to hear what he had to say. They hung on every word. He was the master teacher. No one ever taught like Jesus, and no one would ever teach like him again. They hung on every single word. You talk about awesome. He could captivate an audience. They wouldn't lose their focus. They would not lose their attention, not for one single second. In Mark chapter 1, verses 21 and 22, then we'll jump down to 28. Look at what it says. Then they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Let's jump down to verse 28. And immediately his fame spread throughout all the region around Galilee. You see, when he spoke as one having authority. They listened. They listened. How many times do we listen to the words of Jesus? They're recorded in this book, the Bible. The Bible, the inspired word of God. God's heart was put into the Bible. These men wrote by inspiration what God wanted them to do in their style, in their format. And the people listened to the words of Jesus. I mean, at the age of 12, Jesus was about his father's business. They were astonished then when he was 12 years old, a young man. To be an awesome church, we must really think about the word of God. It is the book that will judge us in the final day. It has the answers to all of life's questions, and then some. And we could study a lifetime, everything in God's holy and divine word, and still not even have begun to touch the hem of the garment. The first century church was awesome because they followed the scriptures. They followed the word of God. The first century church grew. I mean, on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 souls were added to the body of Christ. And the Bible shares with us that every day the Lord added to the church such as should be saved, just as you witnessed just a few moments ago tonight. That's why the church is awesome. Because God's word has power to change lives, even today. And many have tried to destroy the Word of God. It won't happen. In a million years, it won't happen. Take every single Bible you have, burn it, destroy it, and we'll put it back together, book, chapter, and verse, and sentence, because it has been memorized by faithful men and women who value the awesome Word of God. Now, in our congregation back home on Sunday morning, when we read the scripture text for the morning lesson, we have people stand. That's God speaking to us. In Old Testament times, in the synagogues, they would stand when the scriptures were read. God is speaking to us. We have to regard the Word of God as holy. We have to respect it. And the church will be awesome when we do that very thing. Amen. The church is awesome because we rely on Jesus to help us through times of suffering and pain. Let's be realistic. Just because we're a Christian doesn't guarantee that our lives are going to be perfect without any problems or issues or troubles or hardships. Am I right? I mean, the harder we strive to be what God wants us to be, the harder Satan tries to destroy us of anything good and positive in our lives. Satan wants us to be down and out. He wants us to be upset. He wants us to be stressed out. A little six-year-old told her mother, "Mom, I don't think I can go to school today." "Why, baby?" "Because I'm stressed out." What's a six-year-old stressed out about? Really? Satan wants us to be stressed out spiritually. He wants the cares and the worries of this world to bring us down. And many of us in this room tonight, we carry so much baggage on us, we look like Quasimodo, the hunchback of Notre Dame. We need to let it go. Because we're a part of the awesome church. And no problem is too great for our God. He can handle anything and then some. Amen. And that's truly how awesome God is. Turn, if you will, to Mark chapter 1. We're going to start at verse 32 to 34. At evening, when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. Then he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. They were down, they were out, they were sick. They heard of Jesus. They believed in him. They believed in his power. They brought him to Jesus. All kinds of sickness. You name it, it was there. And Jesus, the compassionate human being that he was, healed them. And the Bible shares with us many times that when Jesus looks at people, he has compassion for them because he can see right through them. You can see them from the inside out. We'll talk a little bit more about that in just a few moments. Let's go to chapter 5 of Mark, beginning at verse 21, down to verse 24. Now when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to see him, and he was by the sea. Behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet. And he begged him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she will live." So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. Here this man had so much faith in Jesus and his power. He says, "My little girl is dying." Parents, you know that. You would do anything for your children. Am I right? Just as God did anything for us to save us, he sent Jesus. Let that sink into your head for a moment tonight. He wanted nothing more than his little girl to be saved, to be healed. And he believed in the power of Jesus. He had hope. He was down, but he wasn't out yet. And that hope was Jesus. And Jesus healed her. So we see God's church is awesome because we can rely on Jesus to help us through times of suffering and pain. And the prayers that you had tonight for those who requested prayers, I believe in the power of prayer, don't you? I know it works. The world may say God is dead, but I talk to him every day. And my God is very much alive. And he hears his children's prayers. He hears us because he loves us. God's church is awesome because we will overcome hardships and make the sacrifices in order to get people who need help to Jesus. You see, brothers and sisters and friends, the work of the church is to help seek and save that which is lost. What happens is we get wrapped up in this thing we call life so much, we get bogged down with the baggage that we're carrying on our backs, that we forget about our focus and what we should be doing as God's children, as the church. We need to get people to hear the story of Jesus, the gospel. And the Bible still is a two-edged sword. It cuts both ways, in and out. It still has the power to save. It still is the number one selling book year after year, in thousands of languages and dialects. People want to hear what the Bible has to say because people need to have a relationship with God. And part of the work of the church is to help people build and have that relationship. It's not a social club. It's not who can outdress who lives in the nicest neighborhood. It's about people who care about people and say, we need people to hear the story of Jesus. Amen. We need to cut through the chase. We need to get rid of the fluff. We need to get down to business. People need to know about Jesus, and we are the vessels that serve the Lord in order to do that. Let's turn to Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. And again he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house, and immediately many gathered together, so there was no longer room to receive him. Not even near their door. And he preached the word to them. Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." Can you imagine? Wouldn't it be nice to be preaching and the church house is packed? You can't even get through the door. That's a nice feeling. Remember, Jesus was the master teacher. Thousands came to hear him. That's what was happening this day. But what happened? This man had some friends. And they said, he needs to see Jesus. He needs to be healed. But we can't even get in the place. It's crowded. What are we going to do? Are we going to run? Are we going to take them back? I mean, we traveled all this way. I mean, they didn't have cars and everything that we have today. They were innovative, right? They broke through the roof. Can you imagine Jesus preaching and he hears all this racket? Dust is flying and here this man comes down. And Jesus heals him because of the faith that his friends had and he had, if he could just see Jesus. If people could just hear the story of Jesus, if people could just hear the gospel today, if we would put that in our brains that we need to share the gospel, people need to know about Jesus, with that sense of urgency, the church would grow by leaps and bounds. But we got to get the message to the people. But Satan doesn't want you to do that. Satan wants you to be ashamed. Satan wants you to be fearful. Those are some of his greatest tools. It's kind of like that door knocker who's getting to the door and his knees are shaking and he's hoping and saying to himself, I hope nobody's home. I hope nobody's home. Man, what's wrong with you? The worst they could do is slam the door in your face like that's never happened before. We got to get the message out there, don't we? It's not just David's job or Dan's job or the elders' jobs or the deacons' jobs. It's our job. We're all in this together. We're family. We have to work together. The Lord says, work with me, church family. Let's get people to hear the message of Jesus, whatever it takes. If it means busting the roof to get them in there, let's bust the roof. We are down, but we're not out. God's church is awesome tonight because we will see all people through the eyes of Jesus, loving them, embracing them, praying with them, and fellowshipping with them. Mark chapter 2, let's look at verses 13 through 17. And when he went out again by the sea, and all the multitude came to him, and he taught them, as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax office. And he said to him, "Follow me." So he arose and followed him. Now it happened, as he was dining in Levi's house, that many tax collectors and sinners also sat together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eating with the tax collectors and the sinners, they said to his disciples, "How is it that he eats and drinks with tax collectors and sinners?" And when Jesus heard it, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." You see, sometimes we see what we want to see. But Jesus sees more. We sing the song, "Oh, to be like thee." When we sing it, do we really mean it? If we're going to be like Jesus, and if we're going to be the awesome church that God calls us to be, we have to see people through the eyes of Jesus. We have to look deep, and we have to look within, and sometimes we make our judgment calls on what we see on the outside, and you and I know that usually what we see isn't always what we get. Am I right? We have to dig a little deeper. Because my Bible says that the gospel is for all. It's not for the hand chosen, the ones that live in my neighborhoods, that drive my kind of car, that are in my income bracket. And what's an income bracket anyway? Get my drift? We have to look at people inside out. That's the way that Jesus looked at people. He said, "You know what? The people who are well, they don't need me. It's those that are sick. It's the sinners that walk in darkness every day. They need us." But we're too quick to judge. We're too quick to think in our own little pea brains that, "Oh, you don't belong here." But my Bible says Jesus died for everyone. My Bible says we are all God's children. Now, some of us have the proper relationship with God. Some of us do not. So if we're going to be an awesome church tonight, we have to look at people inside out like Jesus did. The story about the woman caught in the act of adultery. An amazing story, isn't it? "Lord, what are we going to do with this woman? She was caught in the very act. The scriptures, the law says we need to stone her, kill her, get rid of her. Just take her life away. That's what the law says, Lord. What do you say?" I don't know about you, but it usually takes two to tangle. Where was the other person? Where was the man? And you can see Jesus, man. He was so cool, calm, and collected. He wanted them to stew in their own juices, didn't he? He says, "He that is without sin, cast the first stone." Go ahead. Since your life is so perfect, since you're Mr. Wonderful, since you're all that in a bag of chips, go ahead and take her life. Man, you could hear those stones just dropping like flies. The angry mob was nowhere to be found. It was just Jesus and the woman. And Jesus talked to her. He loved her. You see, Jesus knows our hearts. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows us inside and out. Because he's awesome. And that's the same approach we need to take. When we talk to people, when we encourage people, when we pray for people, when we invite people, when we ask them, "Would you like to set up a Bible study?" All we need to do is ask. You know, there's a power in an invitation. It says that 85% of people who visit a church for worship or Bible study was because of a personal invitation. A lot of us are good at this. Why not use it for the Lord? Why not use it for the Lord? So Jesus did what? He ate with publicans and sinners. He hung out with them. He ate with them. And they talked bad about him. As if nobody talked bad about us and some of the things we do. Ever heard the phraseology, Jesus freak, Bible banger, holy roller, and on the list could go. You pray too much. You go to church too much. So what? I'm doing what the Lord wants me to do. I'm here to please God and do what he commands me to do, not what makes you happy. See, we try to make the world happy too many times. They're not worth it. We need to look at the lost through the eyes of Jesus. The Bible says that it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God's kind of like that way. He doesn't want to lose any of his children, any of his family. He wants us all to come to him, to have that special bond and relationship with God the Father. He loves us all so much. He tells us you're worth something. To a world that says you're nothing, you're nobody, you're a loser, God says you're everything to me. I sent Jesus, I gave you the best. Just like the poster said in the little girl's room, I know I'm somebody. God doesn't make junk. And we need to realize that. The very first song we teach to little children in Bible school is what? Jesus loves me. Man, if we could just learn that lesson when we become adults, what awesome people we would be. Amen. Jesus loves me. He died for me. He did everything for me. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to represent. I'm going to stand up for Jesus. My faith is going to be alive. I'm going to help the church grow. I'm going to do something because I am somebody. I don't care what the world thinks. I don't care what the world says. Remember, that's the world. My God is awesome. There's none like him. But we have to keep busy. My brother is a preacher, or brother-in-law is a preacher in Jackson, Tennessee. And in his office, he has a poster that says, "Let the Lord find them doing good." Have you ever thought about it? What would I be doing when the Lord comes? You know, it's just scary enough, you know, that man that made the prediction the world was going to end in May. I don't know, he's having some heart problems now. Maybe he needed to read his Bible, because the Bible says no man knoweth the day nor the hour, not even Jesus, but God himself. You know, if we just read the Bible and use what God gave us, we might be all right. But what if the Lord came 5 minutes from now? What would he find us doing? Would he find us doing good? Would he find us being the salt and light that he commands us to be? Would he find us interested in souls, in people, in lives? Or would he find us all wrapped up in this thing we call life? We're too awesome for that. So we have to keep busy. We use the cliche, an idle mind is the devil's workshop. You know, my parents used to tell me when we got in trouble as kids, if you were praying, that wouldn't have happened to you. Get the idea? We need to fill our lives with good things. And the church is the best place to do it. I don't know where else you would rather be on a Wednesday night, but with the Lord's church and the Lord's people and the Lord's family. I need this recharge, don't you? This world is terrible. Wait when you go outside those doors. They're ready to rip you a new one. They're going for the jugular. They hold no prisoners. They want to tear you down. You come in here and you find a new sister in the Lord. Now, some of those who missed tonight missed, what, a rebirth. It just gives you more confidence in the glory of being a Christian today and a part of the awesome church. See, the awesome church is made up of people. We are the people. We are the family of God. And those things should hold value in our hearts. We are somebody. We are people with purpose and a mission. The problem with the world, they don't know what they're doing. They're clueless. I mean, their three most favorite people are what? Me, myself, and I. I don't want any part of it. I want to be like Jesus. I want to follow in his footsteps. I want to really see people the way that he sees people from the inside out. I want to love them. I want to have compassion. I want to have patience. I want to have forgiveness. But I want to share the story of Jesus, because I'm a part of the awesome church that he purchased with his precious blood. And I know I'm somebody. And the rest of the world that I come in contact with, they need to know the very same thing. You see, some of them don't know that. They don't even know what love is. You think about it. How many times we use the word, I love this or I love that? We don't even have a clue what love is, do we? I love my new car. You don't love the payments. I love my new house. Yeah, it'll be paid in 30 years. And in Florida, that new car has a hefty insurance price too, doesn't it? What's that, the 5-minute warning? Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for a friend. That's love. The kind of love that you and I should have for one another, being a part of the awesome church of the Lord, the Lord's people, that we would die for anyone in this room or any faithful member of the Lord's church anywhere. That's love. That's love. And we need to love God and the Lord and the church with everything. Everything. God doesn't want your scraps. God doesn't want your leftovers. God wants it all. That's just the way our God is. Doesn't he deserve it all? I mean, you think about it. Then when Sunday comes and the plate is passed, we kind of hold back a little bit. Oh, that's mine, you know. Sometimes we have little hang-ups with possessions, right? That's mine. Where did you have the skills to pay the bills and the health to get that job? And a company that can get you a paycheck that's really a good paycheck, it's not going to be like Rubbermaid or Goodyear going to bounce, that you can have confidence when it's directly deposited into your account, or if you take it physically to your account, it's going to be good. Where did that come from? God. And some of us may be struggling right now when it comes to employment. We're down, but we're not out. Why? We're part of the awesome church. We're a loving family of God. And we are thriving. And we are growing. And we're alive. I like that, don't you? We're alive. Satan's not going to steal my joy. Oh, no siree. Has he stolen yours? Do you forget what a blessing it is to be a part of the Lord's church? A loving community of God's children? A light in a world filled with darkness? Those are some awesome attributes that each and every one of us should be. Man, God's church is truly an awesome church. Because we pay careful attention to the words of Jesus. It's not just words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The church is awesome because we rely on Jesus to help us through trying and difficult time. Without Jesus, I don't know how some of us could have made it through some of the challenges that we have gone through. And people even say, how did you guys make it? Because of God. Because of the church. Because of Jesus. Because of the help of the Holy Spirit. That's awesome. And God's church is awesome because we've overcome those hardships that make sacrifices in order to get people to hear Jesus. The work of the church is evangelism, edification, benevolence. And you see, we allow Satan to rob us of that joy because we're afraid. Fear is his greatest tool. Afraid. I'm afraid, and we get that mindset, oh, they're okay, at least they're going to church somewhere. Really? My Bible says there's one Lord and one church. And you know what life is about? Change, isn't it? You can invite someone to Bible study worship this week and they say, no, I'm okay. I'm good where I'm at. But what happens? Their life could change like that. And all of a sudden, they remember your invitation and your genuine concern and love for them. And it may be a month from now, 6 weeks from now, a year from now. They may even move to another state, and they say, you know what? I'm going to visit the Church of Christ because so-and-so was my friend and invited me. I'm going to check it out. But see, we're afraid. Any retailer would tell you, you can't sell what you have in a stockroom. We keep it in a stockroom when we think we're going to grow the church. The first century Christians were awesome. They turned the world upside down for the Lord. They went everywhere and preached the gospel and told everyone about Jesus, and they did it without all the technology that we have today to make things easier, right? Huh. They were like Nike. They just did it. The church is awesome. Don't forget it. And the church is awesome because you're awesome. Because the church is made up of living souls, men and women and children who love the Lord and serve the Lord and are glad that they're Christians because we serve a risen Savior who loved us and died for us. May you grow as you continue to work here and abroad. May God bless you. Be salt. Be light.